Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba RE/MAX Metro East Side. And we're sitting here talking about, you know, for anybody who wants to call in and get these two complimentary tickets, we were just battling back and forth about the parking passes we were given because I just realized they're not valid the day we have
our
program.
Okay.
So if we're going to require someone to come to the show, we can't give them a parking pass because it won't be useful.
Okay, well, we'll waive that condition.
Okay.
All right.
Because we could give them a parking pass.
No, I'm waiving that condition right now. Okay, we're good.
Just wave at it.
Yeah, see my signature?
Yeah. Okay, I was just going to, you know, put my hand in the air and wave it back and forth.
Anybody who's looking,
go.
If you're in Wajimaya
anyway,
right
we
now,
can talk about
see
it.
Us in the window.
We can talk about it. Anyway, all right, so we'll sort that out later. But we realized that we did not do our usual market rate update in the first segment, so why don't we go ahead and take care of that now?
All right, you got it. Well, rates are still holding very, very good. And there's a little bit of debate going on out there now about whether the Fed will increase rates at their March meeting or not.
Okay.
And
why is that?
Well, because the global economy is still pretty troubled. You know, most of that emanating from China. So oil prices are extremely low. We got a glut of oil in the market. And the concern is that there's just enough global weakness out there that maybe it wouldn't be prudent to increase rates again in March. However, Fannie Mae says,
that makes me think of Bush.
We kind of think
prudent.
So. Yeah, wouldn't be prudent, wouldn't advise it.
Sorry. Can't help
it. So, as usual, what do they say? Never trust a one-armed economist because they can't say on the other hand. So Fannie Mae says yes. Ex-chief economist Larry Summers says no.
Okay.
That they should not increase rates. In fact, there's kind of a growing cadre of economists out there that are thinking, we should probably hold off a little bit. And many other economists are saying that the originally forecast 4 rate increases that they were anticipating for this year is way too much. It's way more than the global economy can handle.
Ah.
So,
well, that's good.
Yeah. Well.
Well, if you're buying a house.
It's good on the rate side. You know, talk to my dad who likes to still go out and buy a, you know, certificates of deposit, and he's not too happy about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. In other areas, yes, but, you know, that's not our general focus.
No, that's right.
No, for my clients, they're going to be thrilled to hear that because they're going to keep their purchasing power longer.
Exactly.
And that's actually good news because I have a few people who are kind of, you know, holding off a little bit right now because they're afraid, which is actually really the wrong way to look at it when it's like, no. We're not talking about that to scare the pants off of you. It's meant to light a fire under your booty and
get
you moving forward.
Well, and the thing to keep in mind, too, that we're under, you know, very strict new lending regulations. Mm-hmm. We have a rule called Ability to Repay, ATR.
What? You have to repay?
Yes.
We have to
prove
Fancy
it.
That.
We have to prove it. And that's that rule has eliminated a lot of the loan options that used to be the go-to options when rates were rising.
Mm-hmm.
There are still adjustable rate mortgages on the market, but not like there used to be. And there used to be way more options like interest-only mortgages where you're not paying a portion of principal with each payment. Well, those, by and large, have gone away.
Yeah.
So some of the options that people used to use to basically maintain their affordability when rates are higher are not going to be present at this point. And that's not being ignored. So we'll see that. You know, there's just fewer options out there right now. But with that said, 30-year fixed rates, standard conventional conforming rates are still hovering right around the 4% mark. 15-year fixed rates, the national average is down to 3.15%. And FHA loans, 3.5% is the national average.
Wow.
You know, they've come down a little bit this
down.
Week. Yeah. Jumbo fixed rates are still hovering around 3.75 to 3.875.
Nice.
So it's a great time.
That price,
yeah, that's right. The rates are hanging in there right now. And
speaking of which, did you hear from them?
Who?
The people who I just introduced you to. No, we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So good news on rates.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're hanging in there.
I have a question on FHA.
Yeah.
I was reading an article the other day that was talking about the fact that they had finally hit their 2% requirement for
capitalization.
Yeah.
Yes.
And is there any discussion going on right now about, easing some of the PMI requirements?
There is.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, just to translate that into English, FHA is the world's largest insurance company.
Yep.
When a person takes out an FHA loan, they're not actually borrowing money from the government. They're not borrowing from FHA. FHA is insuring the loan against default. So mm-hmm. the bank makes the loan, FHA insures it. So it's mortgage insurance, basically. Well, the cost of mortgage insurance for FHA is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
There's two parts to it. There's an upfront fee, which is 1.75% mm-hmm. of your loan amount. It's a lot.
Significant, yeah.
And then there's an annual fee as well, which is collected monthly, which is 0.85% of your loan amount.
Mm-hmm.
So that effectively adds almost a percent to your interest rate when
yeah.
you think about the
mortgage
insurance.
Yeah, when you see those closing documents, you start seeing the APR as opposed to
right. and it's
what's
way
quoted
up there.
And you're like, whoa, wow.
Right. And mortgage
but it's
insurance.
Still low. I mean,
it's way less expensive than it was a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
Especially the monthly aspect of it.
Right.
But what did change recently is that the mortgage insurance on an FHA loan can never be removed,
right?
No matter how much equity you build up in the property. The only mm-hmm. way to get rid of it is to refinance your mortgage or to sell a home or
right.
pay off the loan.
Right.
So there's some talk about maybe allowing the mortgage insurance to be removed, you know, at some point in the future on, mm-hmm. on FHA loans, and also to possibly reduce. They're talking about reducing the upfront premium, not the monthly premium for
okay.
FHA loans. That's the banter that I'm hearing quite a bit, you know, in
okay.
the market. But nothing official. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any bills out there right
okay.
now. It's just
well, if
more
you get
being
wind
debated.
Of something, I would definitely love
yeah,
to
absolutely
to know what's going on.
Most definitely.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So good news on rates. They're
mm-hmm.
they're hanging in there, and you know, so, you know, some of the doom and gloom we were you know, fearing a few months ago hasn't really panned out, you know.
Yeah.
And that's
no,
really
I'm glad to hear it because I know we were talking about that in December.
Yep.
And then here through part of January, we were seeing a little bit. But, of course, the
yep.
stuff going on in China and oil has still, you know, like
all of it's
kept
affecting
it
us.
Fairly suppressed,
yep.
which is
that's
nice.
Right.
But, okay, so let's talk about some of the other things
yeah.
that are, you know, risk factors.
Yes.
When buying, right?
Right.
And I know this doesn't necessarily play into your side of things all the time. However, sometimes it does, you know, when there's issues
well,
with the house.
This is super important.
Right?
Yeah.
So I have been experiencing several flurries of activity going on with many transactions in the last week. And they kind of dovetailed when we started talking about what are we going to cover on the show this week, right? Because
yeah.
you were like, I got nothing. And I'm like, I got plenty. So,
well, we never got nothing, but we're good.
Well, yeah. But I mean, normally we have, you know, multiple topics that we bring into
absolutely.
The table, and we never seem to have enough time to cover every single one of them,
right?
Right?
That's right.
So, you know, what I was bringing up is issues around inspections, pre-inspections, appraisers calling out stuff. That's, you know, part of it because most people don't think of the appraiser as someone who's inspecting the property. They think it's just the valuation aspect of it. So that depending on what kind of loan, though, can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
And depending on who the loan is being, you know, perhaps
yeah.
serviced by or,
that's right.
you know, that kind of thing. So I've had a number of issues come up. So I don't know if you have a particular order that you want to go into on this, but I'm just going to start giving some general examples and
sure.
we can kind of talk about that. So one of the things that happens when you're in a transaction, I'm going to talk about inspections generally to start with, and then talk about what happens when that inspection has been completed and you're further along in the contract,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I had two closings last week that each had similar situations where one was a gal buying from a woman who'd been long time in the home, and she was going to have possession post-closing. So, you know, a lot of folks, they just kind of assume when they're buying a house, okay, well, contract is going to say, you know, we start at this timeline, we finish at this timeline. Okay, I'm going to own it as soon as we
sure,
close.
Sure.
But there are actual negotiations that can happen on what's called possession.
Right.
Right. So the majority of the time, we always try and focus on closing and possession at the same time because it tends to be the smoothest, mm-hmm. cleanest, easiest break for the transaction, right?
Safest.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, what ends up happening though is in situations where like this gal needed the money from this transaction to close her next purchase, plus she wanted time to paint in her new condo before moving in, right? Because that's the best time to paint when you don't have all your crap in there, right?
Right.
So we said, okay, we're going to do this and there's going to be plus 5 days. Another transaction, similar. We get under contract, we do the inspections, we have a post-closing of about 3 days for these folks. And, you know, in that timeline, you know, I've got one gal who's just kind of loosey-goosey, like, hey, whatever happens, happens. No big deal. And then I got another gal who is a self-described, completely neurotic. So, but she kept saying it to me the whole time, the transaction, I'm so sorry to be so neurotic. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, then stop being it. You know, like you can work on that. It's okay. But in the one where it was loosey-goosey, you know, the gal ended up leaving some things behind. And thankfully my client, that was a mutual client of ours, actually. She was like, yeah, but I like what she left. So it was okay.
Yeah.
The other gal, it was some very minor items, but it happened to do with the laundry doors because we knew the washer and dryer were not going to stay with the property. But at the very end, when they move in, there's a problem with one of the folding doors on the laundry closet. And so there's a bracket for the folding doors. And then there was also, you know, that little post that kind of keeps it in the track.
Sure.
So the bracket was broken, but we realized going back and looking at our inspection report that it just had been not looked at really because the guy had asked, is the washer and dryer staying? And when we said no, he just kind of ignored it.
Oh, got it.
Didn't really pay attention to it because he didn't think it mattered. But then the post, though, got broken as the sellers moved out. So the bracket, they said, was like that already. Post got broken on the way out. So we went through this and we're still kind of dealing with the situation because the self-described neurotic person called me up and was sending pictures. You know, at first she was like, oh, the thing is broken. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? First of all, how about send me a picture? Because I have no idea what you're describing right now.
Right, right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then it got into the question of, well, what are the legalities around that? Right. So I'm not an attorney, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about that a little bit and kind of how we're handling it.
Perfect. Okay? Does it involve a trip to Lowe's?
Probably.
Yeah, that won't be too bad.
At least for them, not me.
There you go. Well, join us when we come back on KKOL 1300.
Got a question? Call it in. 866-712-1300.